Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We got a lot of fights to talk about, but we will start today with the very awesome audio that was released a couple days ago from the hit and run that John Jones was involved in. We're going to keep it...
Allegedly. We don't think he did it.
We will keep this on. We've edited this piece out that we will keep unedited just because I think the context of the police officers is very funny. So this is some of the audio from John Jones, the hit and run, alleged hit and run stop, straight from the body cam footage of the police officers.
Cool. I'll need that because then this way we can write a warrant for him.
Yep. There you go. Okay.
Shitload of condoms.
Yeah, and then they come. But he wanted right here.
Mm-hmm. See what's in the glove box. Yeah, they said he came back and grabbed a wad of cash.
Oh, did he really?
Mm-hmm.
Self-insured. New York State registration document.
True honor. Dude, I wonder if this is that fighter's car.
Who?
John Jones?
I don't doubt it, bro. They said he was real tall.
They did?
Copy and mail in the white shirt. Jonathan Jones. Nevada, look, Nevada Athletic Commission.
I bet you it's his car.
I bet you it is. Pro MMA, bro. That's it.
Where?
Pro MMA, it's right here.
Charlie 5235.
Pro MMA.
Callers advising that the weapons are all locked in the state.
Well, he's fucked.
Yep, he is. Last time we met 25, he said he's from New York.
Yeah, look at here's all like shorts.
Oh yeah, true honor. He ran back and got his cash.
Mhm. And his drugs.
To that anyway. So
that's
anyway.
Him, dude.
That's definitely him.
Mhm. He almost fucking killed both these people.
Oh, bro. That's bullshit.
I wouldn't want to get in a 32 with him.
No,
I'll just fucking tase him.
So luckily they didn't have to tase him.
Right. And I'm guessing a 32 is some type of altercation. A cop didn't want any of it.
Right. But
that's what Daniel Cormier should do when John comes back. He should just get a taser in his corner.
Just get a taser. And
just cow prod him.
It's interesting, though, and you and I have had talks off air about stuff like this, but it's interesting in this era that we're in, the sheer amount of stuff out there that you end up seeing that you would never see otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. In normal circumstances, we would never see body cam footage from a random hit and run accident with a pregnant woman on the side of the road with a broken arm, you know, and then them going through John Jones' car and finding condoms and
right.
then reading, literally
well,
reading.
A buttload of condoms,
yes,
according to that police officer.
A ton of condoms and all of that stuff. Do you find this to change your perception of the accident itself? Does this add any context or take any away?
Well, I mean, I think it really hits home that John Jones was trying to escape, and he might have been a little bit out of his mind to think he could do that because he left clearly enough clues. But that cop in 40 seconds goes, hey, you think this is that fighter guy? So I don't know if he was talking about fighting gear in the car
well,
or what was in there.
Because if you have not seen the video is on our Facebook page. You can watch it. And I would say watch it only because what Ken is talking about is when they get in the car and they move the airbag aside, there is like a whole semester's worth of homework, like paper sitting mm-hmm. on the he made no attempts to take all of these pieces of paper that were, there were drug tests, like fighter
right.
drug tests on there. There was like a contract for some honor, ring of honor, sort of, not ring of honor, but mm-hmm. some sort of honor thing that he was a part of. It's funny that, yeah, he clearly tried to get out of there as fast as he possibly could.
Yeah, it's funny too, because apparently he jogged off, ran back, grabbed his cash, and maybe grabbed some drugs. That was, I don't think he's actually facing any drug charges right now, but it's just a weird situation when we know John Jones' history and we know what sort of happened here now, because we're seeing more of this, and we hear the 911 calls when they end up on TMZ. more and more, this just becomes an instance of, is the guy getting the help he actually needs? We haven't heard from him since. I know that he's going to be facing that court date soon. We talked a little bit last week about what he would actually be facing as far as charges. I think right now he could be facing 8 months in jail at this point. So,
Do you think he'll get 8 months in jail, though?
I don't know if he'll get 8 months in jail. I would think he would at least get 8 months in jail. He's got a history. This isn't the only time this guy's done something like this. He's got drunk driving past. He's got drug issues in the past that he's tested for. I don't know what is and isn't admissible, but I mean, I would think that previous drunk driving incident alone would be something here where the guy's going to get what the max allowable, because thank God she only had a broken arm. He could have killed this woman.
No, I mean, we've talked about this, right? Like,
how can he only get 8 months for almost killing somebody?
Well, don't you think that they likely won't look at it like that? They'll likely look at what happened as opposed to what could happen. I'm not saying you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
But she didn't die or almost die. She broke her arm. And you and I, coming from a top 40 radio background, have seen probably 1,100 or 11,000 cases like this where you think something should happen to said star and nothing happens to said star.
Yeah, but I would be really surprised here in this case. And a lot of those times when you see those things with celebrities, it happens in California, and their justice system is no better than their state athletic commission. So
true.
A lot of that happens there. I just think it's really interesting. Anderson Silva, who's right now sitting out, we're not sure when he's coming back. You know, he has said as well, John Jones shouldn't come back. He needs to take this time and he needs to focus on everything and change everything in his life. So I think that's a very interesting perspective from a guy like Anderson Silva, who's in the fight game, who's sitting out right now, not for the same type of thing, but still sitting out and saying, hey, this isn't the end all be all. You need to take the time and figure out your life before you even think about fighting again. Nobody said John is thinking about fighting, but...
Well, but there was some talk this week that he's going to come back more focused than ever and want to, you know, get his belt back and do some damage to Daniel Cormier. And that may or may not be true, but I hope you're right. I hope two things. One, I hope he does go to jail, not because I want people to go to jail, mm-hmm. but it's clear that the whole, you know, self-induced rehab didn't work for him and he needs something.
Well, it was 24 hours of self-induced rehab.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, because you laid it on his lap, he's not... responsible enough or mature enough to do that on his own. You need to do something a little bit more drastic, and this is clearly that thing. Because like you said, he could have killed that woman or seven other women, you know, or seven other children.
Well, I mean, the charge is essentially the same, leaving the scene of an accident, causing death or injury. So, I mean, the punishment should fit that same level of crime, and he's got priors. I mean, the dude's done stuff like this before, so it's going to be really interesting to see, and this all kind of plays back into the dynamics we talked about over the past couple of weeks, which we now know with Daniel Cormier being the champion. You know, what does this division do? Because all anybody's talking about right now is when Daniel Cormier gets to fight John Jones. That could be a long, long time away.
Or never, right?
He's waiting on the trial right now.
Right.
So
well,
the trial, I think 3 months is what we're looking at. Maybe it could happen in.
Probably.
So let's say he goes to trial in 3 months. Let's say this thing takes a couple weeks. And then he goes to jail for 6 months. We're already, he's been out over a year at that point. Well, and that after he gets back from jail, I guess, I don't know how you say it, gets out of jail, returns to his camp.
Right.
Whatever you do, you got to have a real fight camp. You got to train up to that camp. I mean, there's a lot that's got to happen before John Jones is going to fight again. I mean, I don't think it is unreasonable to think that he might spend 2 years not fighting.
Well,
when this is all said and done, and that is a long, long time.
And you take a moment here to.
And Daniel Cormier might be retired in 2 years. Let's not forget how old Daniel Cormier is.
There's that part, and then you think about this from a different perspective that I right until this very second I hadn't really thought of, and that is the reverse of getting the star treatment, right? You know, if you get a judge who thinks MMA is a barbaric sport,
mm-hmm.
he might look at this a different. Away,
yeah.
You know, and throw
there's
the
certainly
book at
a lot
you
of those people out there. I mean, this is an instance where we don't know what's going to happen. He's got a felony charge facing him. You know, if he does or doesn't do rehab, that's going to add time to his time. I think
they would have to make him do rehab, right?
Oh well, yeah. I think, and he's probably there now. Is my guess. We haven't heard from him really. He's probably there now. We haven't heard from him since basically the days after the event, the statements, and he was suspended, and that's pretty much been it with John Jones. I would assume he has to do rehab. I think, I think this whole John Jones gets a rematch when he comes back was very myopic on the UFC's part and the fans' part. Just, it's not reasonable. This guy's got real legal troubles right now.
Sure.
And we've all seen dudes fail drug tests in the past. We've all seen dudes that have had some legal issues in the past. But this is a real legal issue, and you're starting to talk about your championship-level fights. You're not talking about some guy who got into a fight with his wife and something may or may not have happened. I'm not even going to mention any names because sure. I'm not going to yep. I don't want to discredit anybody's story here, so right. to speak. But this is a real legal incident. This isn't something where you can kind of bring John Jones back in on a fight night halfway up the card and he's coming back in and we see how he does three or four fights down. You know, you've already said now he's coming back, now he's going to fight for the title. You don't even know if this guy's going to be free in the next 12 to 18 months.
Well, and take it a step further. You know, it wasn't until Daniel Cormier and Anthony Rumble Johnson fought for the title that you kind of got a historical perspective of what has happened. And by that, I mean, John had been the champion for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Dominant champion for 3 years. Now it's going to change hands. That was the promo. So if he's in jail for 8 months, 9 months, 12 months, you know, the whole process takes 2 years or 2.5 years. Who's going to be in that division? Will there be a better version of John Jones? And I'm not being myopic. I don't want to have a discussion about the histrionics of what could happen when he comes back. But this sport is changing so quickly mm-hmm. that there could be somebody scarier than Gustafsson that is now in the division tearing people apart in 3 years.
I think a lot of guys have been watching John Jones too. It's like now everybody assumed Tiger Woods was just going to run away and grab that championship, I think 18, 19, something like that,
sure,
of the
yep.
big four of those Grand Slam championships in golf. And you've seen guys now that have come up. And again, the age disparity is a little higher, but you've seen guys come up that have been watching Tiger Woods and seeing Tiger Woods play, and they're not scared of that dude. I'm not saying there aren't dudes scared of John Jones, but we'll talk more about the fight later, but look at that Condit fight. The way he threw elbows in that fight,
mm-hmm.
that's a very John Jones-esque way to throw elbows and use those elbows in the cage. And that's a guy who I'm sure, while he was out, while he was injured, watched a lot of John Jones fights and goes, you know what? These can be very effective. This can happen in the cage. I can end fights like this. And he essentially did. So you're going to have guys that have been training, that have been growing into MMA, that have been fighting for a couple years, that know they need to know a lot of disciplines, and they know they need to get very good at some of those disciplines, and some of those things are going to be very interesting to see if John Jones comes back. We see the police audio and the videos, and we hear these things, and I think it adds realism to the situation. This is a real case. These are real cops investigating it, because essentially before you see some of these things, you hear the stories and you have this cartoonish visual in your mind of John Jones running into a tree, jumping out of his car and running away.
Right.
That's kind of
right.
what you
yes.
think.
Right.
Well, you hear the 911 call. You see the police investigating. This isn't some kind of story anymore. This is a real thing that happened, and this could have very real consequences for John Jones, which will then roll downhill to the UFC. All this talk the past couple of weeks now about John Jones and his return, that seems very premature. I've been saying it the whole time, and when you see all of these things, I think it's even more premature now. I might be proven wrong. We might get a case in 4 weeks. The judge puts him on probation. Guy's fighting by the end of the year. So, I'd be very surprised, though, if that happened.
But if that happens, there will be, in my estimation, there will be that initial outrage, right? Like, I can't believe this happened sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel that this sport, just like every other sport, has such a short memory.
Oh, you're right. And you we're all going to watch it. We're all going to want to see
right.
what happens.
Like, you know, I can't help but continue to go back to the Michael Vick case, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we were all outraged at the dog fighting and the dog fighting ring and what he did to the dogs and the dog rape stands and all the crazy stuff that was in that house. And then we're like, yeah, but look, he's playing again. Isn't that, we love the NFL, right?
Well, let's look at all of the things. And there's another release this past week. Let's look at these texts we see from Floyd Money Mayweather. We knew all of that happened, and everybody still tuned into that fight.
Sure.
They broke pay-per-view. They broke it. You couldn't order the pay-per-view if you were watching or trying to watch for a certain amount of time. And everybody knew all of these things that Floyd did. Everybody knew what happened. We knew all of these things. Some people tried to highlight them during fight week and say, hey, guys, remember what's going on here. Remember
right.
how bad this dude is. Some of those people were kicked out of the arena because they tried to highlight those things that week. So it's certainly a situation where, you know, the memories are short and, you know, he didn't, quote unquote, kill anybody. So all right, he's going to come back and fight. But these types of things make it more real. You see the police body cams. You hear the women that are on the 911 calls. This is a very interesting situation considering how much it seems like UFC has already set the table for the rematch when we really don't know what's going to happen.
All right, when we come back, there's a fight this weekend. One of our all-time faves who likely should hang it up perhaps after this one. Dan Henderson's going to be in the ring this weekend. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll talk about that Condit fight, and we'll for sure talk about Charles Oliveira as he enters into a universe where he might actually break a record currently held by Hoist Gracie. We'll talk about all of that next. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And like I said, we had a very busy weekend this past weekend. UFC Fight Night 67, that was your boy Carlos Condit doing what needed to get done against Thiago Alves. And we alluded to it in segment one, but Carlos Condit, two things. Likely studied some John Jones tape while he was out.
Yeah, those were brutal and on point.
Well, and what was interesting, Ken, is I feel like that was the game plan. You know, let's get through round one. Let's feel our, you know, feel it out. Throw some kicks. Mm-hmm. Make sure that everything feels all right. And then we have noticed that Thiago stands in a very particular way that elbow combinations are going to open him up to destroy his nose, which he has since mm-hmm. had surgery on. I mean, yeah. When was the last time you heard somebody have to have immediate emergency nose surgery?
Well, I mean, that'll happen when you try to push it into somebody's brain.
That will happen when you try and do that. But what I'm saying is when you're talking about this beautiful violence that he was doing with his elbows, you haven't seen a break like that in quite a long time.
Well, what's interesting, too, is you haven't seen Carlos Condit like that. Usually these guys come back, and we were looking at the fight going, okay, what's he going to be like coming back? He obviously had that loss against Tyron Woodley, and it was a bad loss because you end up injured in it, and that
sure.
can sometimes mentally mess with you a little bit. So yeah, you're not sure when you go in the cage, how does everything feel, especially with knees. Anything with your legs, you get really skittish about, because I mean that's the foundation for everything that you're going to do. We didn't see a dude that looked reticent at all. Looked like he had practiced those elbows. He was trying to finish the fight that way. Any other dude, I mean, there's not a lot of dudes at welterweight. Any other dude, I think he fights like that and fights them anywhere else, not in Brazil, I think that fight got stopped a lot quicker.
Sure.
They gave, obviously, Thiago a lot of time to work with. Thiago showed he's a tough, tough dude. Obviously, with the fight getting stopped between rounds, doctor walked over and just said, no, you're done.
Well, but to Thiago's credit, what I liked is at the end of that, when they interviewed him in front of the crowd, it's not like he said he could have won the fight. He mm-hmm. said, I think I could have fought one more round.
Yeah.
Like, this dude was handling me, but I think I had at least one more in me.
Well, and that's another thing, too. I mean, you're now, if you pair up what Carlos Condit did in that fight with what we know Carlos Condit can do in the past, which is grind you out. I mean, you know, the commentators were saying it a couple times whenever he would get Thiago on the ground during that exchange, after he had him bloodied, after he had gained the advantage in that round, a lot of times the announcers immediately say, well, he's got to be careful here. He doesn't want to gas out. They were saying the exact opposite with Carlos Condit.
Sure.
This guy's not going to gas. So he could finish a fight if he wants. He can keep punching you. He can stay active. He can make it annoyingly awful to be in that cage with him because he's not going to get tired.
No, and Brian Stan said that exact words. Like mm-hmm. when they were, Carlos has Thiago down on all fours and it's just raining punches down.
And they're everywhere too.
And they're like, he can do this all day.
All day. Like, and so if you combine some of that lethality we saw on the feet, which I don't think we've really seen from Carlos before. We knew he could knock you out. We knew that he knows how to strike. He obviously is a guy some people thought won the welterweight championship at one point. But we never saw this aggressiveness from Carlos Condit like we did in this fight. You pair that with that cardio that we've seen in the past. And again, we don't know if that cardio is still there because we didn't get a chance to really
sure.
test it. But I mean, I think his game plan goes with that cardio that he's used to having. And this is a dude, I think, you know, obviously I think he's got to get that win back against Tyron Woodley, but he's right there at the top of that division again.
For sure. He obviously came out of that and said, I'll fight whoever gets the title, if it's Rory or if it's, Robbie. Whoever gets that title, that's who I want to fight next. And I think that's a logical progression. I would like to see the rematch with Tyron Woodley, but like you said last week, it's sort of a step backwards. And I don't know that Tyron needs to do a title eliminator. I think he's in line for that. And it just ends up being much like what we talked about in the heavyweight division and certainly at 155, whoever ends up being there, right? Like
yeah.
with Donald Cerrone, you know, we talked about Cerrone. Does Cerrone wait to fight Nurmagomedov, or he's earned that title shot. Does he take the title shot?
Yeah, this will be, well, this will all be timing. I mean, this could easily, for Tyrone Woodley, be a championship fight if Carlos Condit gets that fight before him, depending on timing. It's all timing to see where these guys are going to land. I don't think Tyrone Woodley's got anything scheduled right now. Obviously, we've got Lawler Hendricks coming up, but I don't think Woodley's got a fight set, unless I'm mistaken.
Nothing that I've seen as of late. I mean, his last fight was against Calvin Gastelum, and then that's it.
So he might, timing-wise, have that next shot. Does he wait for that next shot, depending on what happens with Hendricks Lawler? I mean, he could get the rematch next. I think, I'm guessing, the way Hendricks Lawler's gone in the past, we've seen these guys fight, that what we're going to see here is probably Carlos Condit, Tyrone Woodley's your next logical fight here. And Tyrone Woodley probably doesn't want the fight. He's like, hey, I already beat the guy. But it's going to have to be convincing on either Hendricks' part or Lawler's part for Tyrone to get that next shot. We've still got Rory in the mix. So it's going to be very interesting to kind of see how timing works out. I mean, anybody in the top four, though, in that division, I think is a championship contender there. So welterweights looking very interesting again. And it's a lot of guys, too, because we talked a little bit before about whether or not you thought the guy should be champion at that level. And we talked a little bit about Ryan Bader, not to take anything away from him. But, you know, if he ends up somehow being your light heavyweight champion, you're like, oh, really? That's your champion?
Right.
I'm not taking anything away from him, but I just didn't expect it. You put the belt around Hendricks' waist, Rory's waist, Tyrone's waist, Condit's waist. Those are all legit dudes that you believe in that division. Maybe one of the strongest divisions in all of UFC right now.
And probably the longest running that you've had, this literal, you know, conveyor belt of serial killers that you'd be like, yep, I could see him as champ.
Yeah.
Yep, I could see him as champ. Like, we talked when Matt Brown and Hendricks fought, like, we would think that Matt Brown could be champ. I mean, obviously, that fight didn't really go his way, but heading into that, I don't think either one of us would have been like, oh, there's no way he can beat Johnny Hendricks. I don't see him as a top contender, because that's just not true.
Yeah, I mean, and welterweight's really interesting, too, because welterweight's always kind of been that cutoff for pay-per-views. Basically, if you're a welterweight or you're higher on that weight scale,
sure,
you can carry a pay-per-view and be all right doing it. You know, as much as I'm looking forward to Dos Anjos Pettis, I don't know how that's going to do pay-per-view-wise. I mean, Conor McGregor obviously throwing his hat in the ring in the featherweight division is going to make that a little more interesting. But, I mean, you know, welterweight's been a money division. You had GSP, then you had Condit, who some people thought beat GSP. Then you had Hendricks, who some people thought beat GSP. So, I mean, you had this money-making division, and you've got these legit dudes at the top of it right now that people believe in as champions. So I think that's a bankable division right now, and it's very interesting to take a look at now that Carlos Condit jumped himself right back into that mix.
And what's really interesting is the, you know, Fight Night averaged about 813,000 viewers during the main card. But what I find fascinating is, as you look at the ratings, save for the Alex Oliveira and up, the card by and large was terrible. Just unwatchably terrible. And what's interesting is they peaked in the terrible Ryan Jimmo fight with a million viewers, and then lost close to 300,000 of them by the time that Carlos and Thiago hit the stage.
And I understand that they've done this pay-per-view level 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. thing a long time. I think if people aren't paying for the product, it's a big ask. I'm going to ask you, did you watch it live?
I watched all the way up to Charles Oliveira and Nick Lentz, and then I needed to go to bed.
I recorded it, got up Sunday, watched it first thing. I think that's a big ask to get people that excited to stay up until 1 in the morning watching fights. And you've got basically a dynamic with your demographic that splits into two. And neither one is necessarily favorable to a free TV show that runs until 1 in the morning. Essentially free, basic cable.
Sure.
And you've got the lower end of the demo. And you've got in the 18 to 34-year-old men, which is probably their strong demo that they need to really score in. You've got dudes that are 18 to 25 that are going to go out on Saturday night. They're not going to sit home and wait through, as much as you like Charles Oliveira and Nick Lentz. They're not going to wait through that fight. They're not going to wait through KJ Noon's fight.
Oh, I mean,
the Condit fight.
Look, I like that fight, but I mean, I talked to friends of mine that love this sport that didn't even know it was a rematch. So, like, I'm with you. Nobody's waiting for this thing knowing that Charles Oliveira and Nick Lentz are going to go to war.
So, and then you start going 25 and up. What do dudes start doing when they're 25? They start having kids.
Yep.
They've got real jobs.
We're going to get up at 6 a.m. on Sunday.
Exactly. So you basically ask both ends of your audience there to stay up until 1 in the morning for a fight. And I wanted to see that fight more than anything. But I wasn't going to stay up for that fight when I can put it on the DVR. I mean, that's changed this dynamic immensely. I don't need to watch a fight live. You know, MMA's to the point, too, where if I get up on Sunday and I watch it within a couple hours, it's probably not going to get spoiled unless I'm an idiot about it.
Yeah, if you stay off social, you can totally enjoy it on Sunday. If you, I mean, you go to the office on Monday, likely mm-hmm. somebody's going to spoil it for you. But, yeah, if you get up and that's what you watch, I'm with you.
So I just really think if you're in the situation where you got to fight on Fox, because Fox knows better. I mean, Fox is smart.
That's the interesting thing,
they don't
right?
put their fights on until 1 in the morning when they're on Fox.
No, they're done by 10.
That's because Fox would tell them they're high and you need to get your fight on earlier. You know, yeah, they're scheduled to be done at 10. They might last until 11, depending on if they roll ahead or not. I think that's really got to be your template when you're on the free channels, too. I get it. Sometimes on the West Coast, you're going to be able to buy yourself some more viewers because you're going to be out of the way of everything else. And there's probably a little bit of bias on their end. I mean, they're there in Vegas. Everybody's up right now. What's the big deal? But what is that? 70% of the audience is on this side?
Well, not
the
not
Mississippi
only,
River?
Not only that, but let's pretend for a second we're going to have a Vegas bias. You know as well as I do, the event starts at 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care what part of the universe you're in Vegas at 3:30 till 9 or 10 p.m. is a giant ask in
right,
and of itself.
But I mean the main card's not till 7, so I could see their reasoning there. It's just a very interesting situation, especially when you tell me those numbers. I mean, who tunes into that card that doesn't want to see Carlos Condit fight? Nobody. But they can't see Carlos Condit fight because they can't commit that investment there. Because you know what we're going to do? Next time the pay-per-view comes, we're going to commit the investment there. When McGregor fights, we're going to commit the investment
there. Sure.
2 weeks ago, we committed the time there with Cormier and Johnson. So there's only a certain number of times we can make that till 1
well,
in the morning commitment.
And I think if you're watching on Fox Sports and you have a DVR and you have to sit through that terrible Ryan Jimmo fight, which I have no idea. They cut mm-hmm. a whole bunch of fighters this week, and he wasn't one of them. No idea why he wasn't cut. But
well, because he got nutted.
I think you sit through that thing, if you sit through it, and you're like, forget it, I'll just watch the rest tomorrow.
Well, because you know you got three more fights.
Right.
And as much as I thought Alex Oliveira was good, you know, that submission was nice. Against KJ Nunes, I should have specified Alex Oliveira. You kind of get into that fight, and you feel like, oh. And then and the other thing, too, pay-per-views don't have commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they sell movie trailers in there every
sure,
once in a while.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a movie trailer, you know,
yeah.
or a video game trailer or something that's like a little bit more native advertising.
I really think, I mean, we talk a lot about all the tweaks and the things that they can and can't do. And some of them they've done. Some of them they've done a great job with. One of the things I think they really need to look at, though, is this until 1 in the morning type of thing. I think I told you a couple months ago, one of the cards I didn't even realize, I recorded the prelims. And not the main event.
Right.
Because I thought the thing was over at 10. So I record the prelims because they're named exactly the same, by the
yeah,
way.
Yes, they
if
are.
You don't
yes.
happen to notice, yep. it's Condit Alves. Prelims is afterwards, like if you're just hitting your DVR. So I just because I can't fathom being on the East Coast. And maybe that's my East Coast bias and your East Coast bias.
Sure.
But we do have most of the audience. They do, you know, they start baseball games at 9 o'clock at night. And everybody gets up in arms about it. But at least, you know, in that case, you know it's going to be spoiled or the playoffs are going to be ruined. I don't think anybody's going to sit through all these fights to get to that one fight, which is exactly what these cards should be, by the way. One real headline fight, which mm-hmm. we had with Condit.
Yep.
And then some other fun feature fights. And like you said, that rematch, we didn't all know it was a rematch.
But you enjoyed the hell out of the fight if you like MMA.
If you got to it.
Yeah.
If you got to it. And there's a lot of people, too. That's the other interesting thing about this dynamic you have to look at. I ended up watching it, but I jumped to the Carlos Condit fight first. Because I didn't know how long it was going to be. So that could have taken 40 minutes of my time. Five-round
right.
fight,
right.
breaks between rounds, and wait for the decision. That could have been 40 minutes of my time. So I watched that first. Now, it wasn't, so I went back. And I watched the Nick Lentz fight, and I watched the KJ Nunes fight. I didn't go any deeper, though, either.
I mean, I'm telling you, you don't need to. I watched the whole thing, and then just I wanted to see the Oliveira fight. And one of the reasons I wanted to see that is because, you know, this is a guy who's been on a tear, 20-4 with that one no contest, which comes from this Nick Lentz original fight in 2011. But he's only 25, won 7 times, including this weekend, by submission. Trails only Diaz, who's obviously 31, Mir, who's 36, they both have 8, and Hoyce has 10. So he very easily could break the record for the most submissions in UFC history. And I find that to be very interesting as he's evolving as a fighter. Those knees he threw to Lentz in the first round, I thought for sure was going to finish the fight. And then he has a tough, tough round as Nick Lentz bounces back in the second and finishes in the third. I just thought a great fight. Looks like Mendez and Holloway might meet up next, so but those would be two great things for him. Could be Guida or Ricardo Lamas, which would be next for him at that flyweight division. So some really fun things happening as you're talking. And what's really fascinating for a guy like Charles Oliveira and Mendez and Holloway is, you know, at flyweight, if you're, you know, you're dealing with Aldo and McGregor, right? All eyes are going to be on this thing in July, causing a lot of people to pay attention to this weight division that up until McGregor Aldo was not drawing, as you alluded to, like the welterweights and up.
Right. Well, and it'll be interesting, too, always to see how those undercards develop as we get closer to that. Speaking of having to stay up till 1 in the morning to watch probably one or two fights, are you looking forward to Dan Henderson this weekend?
I'm looking forward to seeing if he's still got what it takes. He's a guy that we all love.
This is 185, right?
It is 185. You know, Tim Bosch needs this win, I think, to just kind of stay relevant at that weight class.
Yeah, I think he's out of the top 10 right now. I'd have to go look.
But, you know, Dan Henderson is a guy that I think you've just got a lot of questions. But, again, to talk about fun fights that are on there, you've got Poirier and Yancy Medeiros, which is going to be an absolute war. And at the heavyweight division, Mitrione just brings it every time he steps in the octagon.
I love watching Mitrione. Ben Rothwell's fun too.
They're both fun. So you've got some great fights on this card, but I'm with you that if you put this
But if you look at the card again, those are the final three fights on what's going to be a fight day that starts on the East Coast.
Right.
At what, probably 5 o'clock?
Something like that.
When you do the Fight Pass fights and then 8
Sorry,
o'clock.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
7 or 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. That's the other weird thing, too. It just feels so overwhelming because it stays on the same network.
Right.
Now I know I'm getting very pithy, but it's a weird situation, too, because I'm going to set the DVR. I'm not sure what I'm doing this weekend. I don't know if I'm staying up until 1 in the morning to see what Dan Henderson and Tim Boach do. A lot of that falls on Joe Soto and Thiago Tavares and guys like that.
Yeah, and
what
Alex,
are they doing that
Alex
first
Caceres
hour?
And yeah. Francisco Rivera, they're going to lead that thing off. And, yeah, if they put out a terrible outing, you're automatically losing interest by the second as to whether or not you're going to keep watching this thing, knowing full well that, like you said, if you get up with your kids at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, you can catch up before anybody spoils it.
Or if you party and you're out Saturday night and you're just out partying, you're probably not going to get spoiled. You wake up at noon.
Right.
Like we used to do.
Right. I remember those days.
And you wake up at noon, you make a burrito, and you probably grab a beer, and you watch the fights at noon on Sunday.
But
God, that sounds great. Why do we have kids?
We
love our children. We want to make that clear
do.
On the podcast.
But we're going to New Orleans.
I'm just saying.
Going to New Orleans this weekend, UFC Fight Night 68. So, again, you can follow along with all the results if you want it spoiled for you or if you are dealing with it live. You can check that out. But Tim Bosch, Dan Henderson, again, Dan's chin, I think, is super questionable, and I just don't know how many of these he has left. I know he's going to tell you he's got all of them left. I just don't think that that's a logical way to answer that question.
All of them left? Yeah, no, that's not logical at all.
You know, but I mean, if you talk to him, he's one of those guys. Like, it's interesting to see the difference between Randy Couture's business decisions that made him make better health decisions, right? Like, he had the fight with the UFC, ends up going to, Bellator, Strikeforce, or wherever he ended up going for a half a minute.
Like coaching,
yeah,
right, or something?
So when he goes and does that, then his movie career takes off, and lo and behold, he doesn't have to worry about doing this anymore, right? But it was all because of these business decisions. It wasn't that he woke up one day and went, yeah, I'm done with the fighting bug. Where Dan hasn't really had those opportunities, so he's still in there slugging it out.
I will say one thing. As much as, you know, he's still in there slugging it out, and we're wondering what happened to the old Dan Henderson, Gegard Mousasi, that's a tough fight. And that was Dan's first fight, I believe, at middleweight without the TRT, right?
Yes.
So that's a tough test. There's not a lot of guys in that division that beat Gegard Mousasi, let alone a 44-year-old man. The fight before that, that's your current light heavyweight champion of the world right now, Daniel Cormier. And again, I get that the Mauricio Rua fight wasn't that impressive, but those guys went back and forth. I know what you're going to say, but I'm still looking at the list of dudes that beat him. Is Tim Bosch in that category of dudes that have beaten him? No.
Well, no, but I mean,
this should be, if you look at it, Dan Henderson's easy fight.
I guess, unless you're looking at his record, he's 1-5 in the last six.
Look at the dudes on that, though. It's Gegard Mousasi that beat him. It's Daniel Cormier that beat
him.
But
you're Dan Henderson.
It's Vitor Belfort.
Like,
but Dan Henderson may not be those dudes anymore. But and again,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're Dan Henderson. You're the guy that people seem to forget that Verdum had already beaten Fedor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dan Henderson gets all of the credit for ending Fedor's career, right? So Dan Henderson doesn't get to really fight tomato cans. What I think is interesting about this fight is Henderson is 1-5 in his last six. Bosch is 2-4 in his last six, and I think Bosch knows what's on the line and knows what's hungrier. And I think it's hungrier for this win because he's got more life in the tank than Dan Henderson does. What happens if Dan Henderson beats Tim Bosch? He's got to go right back into the shark tank of guys he can't beat.
Yeah, but you still want to see what he can do, right?
No, what do you want to see him do against those upper echelon guys that he's not having any success against?
Well, I mean, if he beats Tim Bosch, we look at top 10 guys instead of top 5 guys.
Who at 85 in the top 10 do you think he's got a great chance of beating?
Oh, that's right. We're at 85 again. I keep forgetting middleweight.
Is Jacare in there?
Let me look and see.
Like,
who
do we want to just finish him handily?
So who we've got in middleweight? You know, Tim Kennedy? Henderson Kennedy? Come on. That's fun. Yoel Romero?
You think Yoel?
No, I don't think.
Come on, man.
No, I don't think he beat. But these are fun fights if he wins this fight. Bisping Henderson? I'd pay for that again. Come on.
So would Bisping.
he'll pay for it again because he forgets about the first one. That's
but
why.
Like, you know, like you said, from Gegard Mousasi.
Shut up, you won't pay for these fights.
For Gegard Mousasi.
I really like that Bisping fight.
He doesn't beat anybody.
Please. Now, I want him to beat Bosch just so we can get to that Bisping fight.
I don't know, man. Like, I just.
Because usually a guy like Bisping, who strangely enough at number 10, I think is still a viable contender, depending on the night of the week that you end up getting in there with him. He's a dude that would probably still take that fight. Because here's the thing. With Dan Henderson, it's becoming more and more of a lose-lose for his opponents. Tim Bosch, obviously, with his run, could gain a lot this Saturday night. You get a little higher in this division, you've got mostly dudes that it's kind of lose-lose for. Bisping probably would love another crack at Dan Henderson. Probably feels like he's finally, you know, they've both aged, obviously, since that fight. He probably feels like he's aged a lot better than Dan Henderson.
You mean he's not going to circle left until he gets crushed in the skull?
Maybe. Shut up, you won't pay for it. Quit acting like that wouldn't be something. They could almost headline a pay-per-view with that and get me to pay for it.
But what I'm saying, though, is, you know, to your point, Tim Bosch at 2-5 in his last seven fights, they're cutting him. Dan Henderson, if he's 1-6, they might keep him around for this Bisping thing.
Well, I mean, if you want to go back, and again, he's in the shark tank, it's mass murderers he fights. Gegard Mousasi, Cormier, Belfort, Machida, I think, are some of those losses for Henderson. I pulled up Tim Bosch and his losses. Talis Lites, okay, all right. He's a good fighter. Luke Rockhold, obviously a very good fighter.
Yep.
Very good fighter. Mark Munoz, pretty good fighter.
Again, much like Bisping, depends on when you see him.
Costa Philippou, okay fighter. Those are his losses. So, I mean, well, let's start doing our MMA math and stacking up those losses. All those dudes that Dan Henderson lost to would straight up murder every dude, essentially, that Bosch has lost to.
1,000%. The only thing I will say to you, you know, in difference to that point of view, is that Dan's head is not the head that he was fighting with 5 years ago, right? Like, his chin is just not there. And a guy like Tim Bosch, who can crush your skull with his fists, makes it so that there's a very good chance that Henderson gets knocked out again. And if he does, I think he needs to stop.
Well, yeah, and what we did see, too, in the Gegard Mousasi fight, we saw a pretty rough TKO. I believe that was the first round, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not looking at it right now, but yeah,
I believe it was the first round. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. I just kind of look at this fight and look at these two fighters and go, I'm still going to probably put my money on Dan Henderson. I would do that, though, knowing I'm probably going to lose that money. I'm not going to put the mortgage on Dan Henderson. But if I got $50 in the pocket and I'm going to bet it on somebody, it's going to be Dan at this point. And I just really – I'm now in love with the possibility of a Henderson-Bisping rematch. I'm now –
You've heard it here first.
I've decided that that's got to be a thing.
All right. Follow along all weekend long on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. And do not forget, starting today, you will be able to win tickets to Celebration Cinema North to check out Kane and Verdum him on the big screen. That'll be June 13th, coming live from Mexico City. So we'll check that out on the big screen. So get signed up for that right now.
Now, for those of you wondering, yes, they do have the cervezas available we watch the fights there at Celebration Cinema.
They do, and delicious popcorn. So you will have a chance to win those tickets, and we will get that up on the site today. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk next week.